and Ictairs, episode 1.2.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Sam.
And Zach Bush is not here because he's a fruit and he doesn't want to be here, so.
Oh, and just by the way, we're totally going to wing this episode. This might kind of remind you veteran listeners of the Shit Happens episode because we're not going to add anything because we're lazy right now. And if you hear a chain walking around, that's my dog that won't leave Matt alone.
Yeah.
Yes, you Heidi, yes.
She has like a person fetish with me. So.
Yes. You can check out our website, without the www, at anna-dictairs.blogspot.com. Or I'm sure you can just hit up, you know, by going to Google and typing Anna Dictairs and then Blogspot.
Yeah, or you can send us a message at anna-dictators@gmail.com, which is different from our Hotmail account, because like I said, we only got junk mail on that. So.
Oh, actually, it's Anna dot. Dictators.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, see, we're rusty. We haven't done this in a long, long time, as you probably all know, if we do have any faithful, dedicated listeners, which Matt says we do.
We have a couple.
Yeah.
So, props to you.
We appreciate that. I think we had one guy, a couple of people add us on MAU, which is great, and, you know, I think we've said this like a million times. We even have it on our website. But again, you can add us on MAU. I'm Sorrow667, and then Matt's Fallen101. And what we're reviewing today is not really all anime. We're trying to branch out, I think, like we had tried to explain one time on our site. And I'm going to be talking about the first three episodes of Darker Than Black, and then Matt and I are doing a combined review about Crow Zero. It's a Japanese movie. And then?
And then I will be reviewing Brick, which is a kind of buried treasure, kind of not. So.
Now, where is that movie from?
Oh, that is an American-made movie. So
okay. News wise, the song or the music composer from Macross: Do You Remember Love, which is a great movie. He unfortunately hung himself. Don't remember his name exactly. Also on AnimeNewsNetwork.com, you can check out this interview with Yoshiyuki Tomino, which is the original creator of Mobile Suit Gundam, if you don't know, and hopefully you do know that, because that's good, important anime history. You need to check out that and see what he has to say. He talks about Ideon and the new Ring of Gundam series for the 30th anniversary of Gundam, because the 20th anniversary they made Turn of Gundam. So if you're a mecha fan like me, then you'll like reading and checking that out.
Yes. Also, RZA, the composer for all the music in Afro Samurai, is supposed to get a movie deal. So I know he can compose music. I'm not so sure if he can direct, but we'll see.
And Matt and I, like, we were on QuietEarth.com?
Yes.
We were watching a trailer for this new, and it's supposed to be American production, movie called Cup of Tears.
Yes, and it's like 300 mixed with samurai, so the only problem is the backgrounds look kind of tacked on. It almost looks like the Speed Racer backgrounds, really fake and psychedelic, but the rest of it looks pretty badass, and the beheading it shows at the beginning of the trailer was well worth watching. So
yeah, it just looked real crisp and high def, and just definitely looked like a modern movie. And when you saw that, you thought first thought you had was 300 and the Spartans. So, and since we haven't really talked to you guys in a while, we're kind of going to give you an update of like what we're watching and reading at the moment, just so for you maybe to start a discussion with us over email or over MSN. Which, if you want to add me personally on MSN, it's outlaw.sorrow@hotmail.com, and I talk to a lot of people on our Real Man Club on MAL, a decent amount, so I don't get on all the time because I'm not big on instant messaging. But if you'd like to message me and talk about like maybe what I'm watching, or you want to talk to Matt, maybe he's over at my house, then we can do that. So Matt, what kind of anime series are you watching?
Well, I'm actually the Captain Tyler OVA, or not OVA, the Captain Tyler series, you might know as the Irresponsible Captain Tyler. Interesting little gem there that Sam picked up and he let me borrow. Besides that, not a whole lot on the whole watching from. I'm rewatching some stuff. I just got done rewatching The Soul Taker, finished 3x3 Eyes. I mean, it's been a long time since our last episode, so all the stuff I watched in between there, I have acquired some stuff, but I've already seen it. I picked up the complete series of Toko, just a couple little things like that, nothing tremendously big. For manga, I've been reading a lot more manga lately. I picked up Tanpenshu, Hiroki Endo's. He's the creator of Eden. And so he's a pretty big science fiction manga name. Tanpenshu is the two volumes of his short stories, which are, for the most part, interesting. I wouldn't quite consider it, like, you know, awe-inspiring, like all the stories, but there's some real gems in there. Like the entire first graphic novel basically is just absolutely amazing for stories. The second one, not so much. The second one looks like it got the craptastic stories. Picked up a kind of lesser-known manga called Arm of Cannon, which is weird. That's about all you can describe it. Supernatural kickassery with...
kickassery.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's like almost lunacy. Like, the first volume, you have no idea what's going on. It's just like, oh, this kid has a demon inside him, now he's gonna, like, rape people and eat them. And then after that, they, like, wind up in a forest, and it's, like, 10 badasses in a forest killing each other with a super demon kid who, like, rapes people and eats them. So, it's interesting. Worth checking out. Really good art. The story's a bit shallow, but the art's amazing. It's terrific. Wonderfully bloody. So.
You guys know what I hate most in the world? Is when we're doing something important, and your fucking mother calls you and is wondering how you're doing, and you just want to be like, bitch, I'm recording a podcast, or I'm watching anime, or I'm fucking owning bitches on the internet, you know, with Counter-Strike, WoW, or whatever the hell you play. Anyway, are you done telling what you,
Pretty much.
Okay, because I wasn't here, and I don't want to, like, cut you off. Okay, anime series currently I'm watching, Blue Literature, which kind of has the Shigeru feel, Also, the Technolize kind of feeling. So if you like that really fucked up stuff like Matt, because he's really messed up in the head, then you'll like it. The only thing is, there's only one subgroup. I think it's Instant Subs that are subbing it. So hopefully they stick with it and not drop it, because it's not very popular. Watching Area Battle of Dunbine, Mobile Suit Gundam, the original series, Fang of the Sun Dagrum. Those are just kind of like mecha shows I'm watching. And then some of the new Saint Seiya series, and of course Darker in Black, which I will talk about and get into more detail later. And then I'm watching The Irresponsible Captain Tyler OVA, because recently I finished a TV series. And then manga-wise, I'm reading Amazing Air Gear, because it's freaking hilarious, perverted, and great. Alive, and then I'm going to start reading Armor Cannon, like, because Matt just let me borrow it. And of course I'm reading Bleach, because it's shit.
No, it's not. It's full of pop-blooded idiots who go around and get captured and raped and stupid.
And then I'm reading, of course, Hitman Reborn, which is, it's okay.
Stupid.
It's okay. Stupid. It's not great. Then Shamu, of course, Shigeruyu, which is shit, and X-Blade, which, I don't know, like, who's handling in that, but I really hope they start getting chapters out, because they only have 19 out, and it's really bugging me that they haven't got any more out, because it's a really, really good series. And by the way, I don't remember the guy's name exactly, I probably should, but the guy that does the art, maybe the story for that particular manga, also does the art for Kamikaze. And if you remember that series, it was okay.
Yeah, art was good, though.
But the thing is, X-Blade, like, I don't know what he's been doing over the last couple of years, but his art, and if he does the story, is so much better. Like, he's really, really improved, and you'll like this a lot better. It's got the same feel, modern time samurai kind of thing, but it's a lot better, so you'll want to check out X-Blade. Moving on to the reviews. You want to do a group review and talk about Crow Zero first?
Let's do it.
Crow Zero, the original, Crow Zero 1, came out in 2003,
I think. Not 100% on that.
03 or 04, sometime in that vicinity. And the main characters in this story are Genji and Sarazawa. And it's based in a high school.
Actually, it came out 2007, just so you guys know.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were a little bit off. We're looking at Wiki right now, if you didn't notice. The thing is, though, about this movie is, hopefully you know this, that in Japan they only have 3 years of high school. And now these guys are all seniors, or most of them are, and they pretty much, it's kind of like New York gangbanging.
Yeah.
But, like, in Japan. But they don't fight with guns or knives. I mean, yes, they sometimes do, but it's more...
It's their fists.
Yeah, it's hand-to-hand combat. And Genji is the son of a big, big Yakuza boss. And he transfers school in the middle of the year, and his goal in life is to run the school and be the head of the school.
And to kick ass and take names.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And so he just... That's what he starts doing, is kick ass and taking names. And he makes his own group called GPS, and he gets all the guys that pretty much he beats in to join his group. And then he starts going after Sarazawa, which is he's ahead of the Sarazawa army. And this big conflict comes up between the two, and maybe Matt, you want to continue on?
Well, and, like, you know, they get in this whole, like, vendetta sort of thing, and, you know, there's this big showdown between the two.
In the rain, the motherfucking rain.
In the rain, and it's just incredible, because, like, you know, you just see, like, these, like, 50 guys charge at each other on both sides, and, you know, they're just, like, you know, kicking ass, and, like, you see guys flying, you know, guys getting hit in the face. It's a lot of fun.
And the cool thing is, like, when Genji, like, he'll, like, start running at people really, really fast, and, like, all of a sudden, like, half second later, he'll drop kick in the face.
Yeah.
Like, it's nothing. And, like, it's just so cool. And then, of course, you know, you got these high schoolers that smoke, like, 24-7.
Yeah.
Like, their chimneys, you know. And then they're drinking alcohol. And the cool thing about this is Genji actually gets a girlfriend. And there's this club he regularly goes to. And she's the big kind of hip-hop, not really hip-hop, but pop artist there. And she sings.
Yeah.
And she's hot.
Yeah.
Really
the,
hot
the,
for
the actress
chick.
Is very,
yeah.
very,
not
very
saying
hot.
Any Asian chicks aren't hot, you know. Because that's the rule in life, but...
Yeah, it's true. Asian chicks have the hotness factor.
But he kind of treats her like shit.
Yeah, he really treats her like shit. It's kind of, like, annoying, actually.
Yeah, that's we don't like to say many bad parts about these Crow Zero 1 and 2. But that's just one of the bad things about it.
Yeah. It's also, just so you guys know, in case you didn't, it's directed by Takashi Miike. And he is a relatively, like, famous kind of underground director in Japan. He's kind of a, like, hack, pretty much. He gets a movie in within 2 months. The thing's done. And it's in theaters and he's moving on. So he gets, like, 6 to 8 movies out a year. And so, like, he's also directed the gems like Ichi the Killer, Audition, Yatterman, like, just all sorts of different shows.
The new Yatterman?
The movie Yatterman.
Yeah, no. Okay, there's a new one out. Just like the anime out, the anime is. There's, like, a new Yatterman movie.
Yeah, he did the, like, one that just came out.
Okay, that's what I was talking about. Because I saw on the internet, I was like, I've heard of that from you, but I wasn't sure, like, what it related to exactly.
Yeah.
Because they had some weird-looking costumes on, and I wasn't exactly sure what the hell was going on.
It's a weird, like, mech show thing. Anyway, but yeah, he does The Yatterman. He's done Bodyguard Kaiba. He's done MPD Psycho. He just does dozens and dozens and dozens of movies. And, he's only been doing these things since, like, the 80s, and he's already got, like, 100 titles to his name, so... He's kind of, like, the one to look out for in the movie stores and stuff whenever you're, like, going through the foreign sections. Like, hey, I want a totally kick-ass movie. Look for Takashi Miike. I mean, really, really good stuff. So, the original Crow Zero, they made a sequel, Crow Zero 2, which just came out, like, this year, basically. And not near as good as the first. It's still good, but...
It's hard to make sequels really, really good, though.
Yeah. But the first one is just so kick-ass that it doesn't even compare. This is also said to be Takashi Miike's most mainstream movie. Most of his stuff's, like, fairly, really controversial. Or, take, for instance, Ichi the Killer. That thing got banned in, like, 7 countries. they had it edited out for releases in different places. Like, I think the only two countries that got unedited releases of it were America and Japan. That's it. Everywhere else, they edited some part of it. So, that kind of tells you how ridiculous his stuff is. And this one's not quite as ridiculous. So...
Thing about Crow Zero is you have to understand is the school that they go to, it's not one of those nice cutesy schools that you see in anime and stuff. It's like complete delinquents. Trash everywhere, desks, everything is torn up, and each gang's got their little kind of like hangout on the school grounds. And then there's, the cool thing about it is it's not just Genji and Sarasawa that are cool characters, but there are tons of other characters that join the certain groups and fight against each other that really, really stand out and don't just focus on the main two protagonists.
Yeah, and that's a really cool thing, because like there are like dozens of characters and like in the first and second movie, and they're as interesting, if not more interesting, than the main characters.
Oh yeah.
And also what's really cool is the GPS group generally wears all black, and the Sarasawa group generally wears all white. So it's really kind of fun to watch them fight each other, because it's like the whites versus the black. Really easy to tell which side they're on.
Yeah, they either wear some kind of white, because mainly it's not because their uniform is white. It's in the second movie, they fight a different school, and that's why, I think that's what you're thinking of.
Oh, yeah, my bad. Never mind.
And they're all white, but like some of them do. Like they don't wear all black. They have like their own shirts, and then they have their school uniform pants. And then there's this one dude that has like a brain tumor or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he always wears it without his coat, with his coat off and his white shirt. Mm-hmm. But a lot of them just wear kind of like whatever shirts they want to.
Yeah. But, sorry, I was actually thinking the second one there. But just the whole thing is just, like, really a lot of fun to watch. I mean, if you like kung fu, if you like action, or, you know, Japanese movies in general, it's worth checking out.
It's just badass. Like, you know, that's like the only thing you can say that completely describes it.
Yeah, I mean, it really is badass. I mean, as far as, like, just sheer fighting movies go, this has got to be probably one of the top 10.
How many fight scenes do you think is in it?
The whole movie?
Yeah,
exactly. The whole movie is a fucking fight scene. I mean, I don't think... Well, there's, like, 3 parts that aren't, and those generally are the guy with... Are Genji with his girlfriend.
Yeah. Now, the Yakuza also ties into this movie. It's not just his dad. It relates to certain people that go after others... And then it just all ties together, and it's really cool how they do it. I mean, it's not like the plot twists in, say, like MPD Psycho or Neon Genesis Evangelion, but it's simple plot twists that really just keep you watching because it's interesting. It's not just fighting for you people that like psychological movies.
Yeah, it's a thinking man's fighting movie. Like, it really is. Like, you know, a lot of, like, kung fu movies, but one of the biggest problems is there's, like, huge plot hole gaps. You know, it's just, like, the plot's secondary to the fighting. This one, it's kind of, they're almost on, like, an equal level, the plot and the fighting, so it's kind of nice to see.
Also, you know, Genji, it's not like he's absolutely perfect when he starts getting up there in the ranks of not badass fighters, but, like, the boss that controls a lot of different soldiers or different guys from the school. He's not perfect to where he breaks down, he can get emotional, even though he really ever shows in the show, except for a few times. And there's when a lot of times where his soldiers doubt him, and they have to, you know, give him a punch in the face to get him to realize and get back to Earth to figure out what the hell he's got to do.
Yeah, and that's another thing, too. Like, he's not the greatest of all fighters. I mean, he's, like, a good fighter and stuff, but he still gets his ass kicked quite a bit, if I remember right. So, you know, that's kind of nice, too, because he's, like, not, like, the invincible hero. So,
even though that's nice, but, like, sometimes it gets kind of old, because, like, it's kind of like in those Bang Bang Shoot 'Em Up movies when you're seeing them shoot so much, like, shit, when they're going to run out of bullets and freaking reload, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
And also about this movie is there's... talk about getting your ass kicked. Here we go. Sorry, I had a brain fart there. There's scenes where, like, one guy and his group of schoolmates went against this other group and teamed up on a bunch of guys. Well, the next scene for this guy's, the guys that originally got beat up, to get back at him, they corner the leader, and he seriously has to fight, like, a fucking army.
Yeah.
And they do that, and that happens a lot, and it's really cool to see how the dudes get out. Of course, they get the shit knocked out of them. You know,
it's really cool. Biggest problem I have with this movie, besides the whole girl thing, is Genji's haircut is perhaps the shittiest haircut in a mainstream movie I have ever seen. I mean, like, it's like this, like, mullet. Like, the Japanese form of a mullet, basically. I don't know how to describe it. He, like, slicks his hair back. It's long in the back, shaved on the sides, and
The sides is kind of cool, but, like, it's not like... It's in a sense, it looks like a mullet when he puts it back, but then it all falls to the front.
Yeah.
Like, all the hairs in the top middle of his head. It's really, really awkward, and it doesn't make him look less manly or badass, but, like, he sometimes sits there and puts, you know, a little thing to make a ponytail, and it's like, what?
Yeah, it's like, dude, just cut your hair, man. Okay,
yeah, but the thing is, Sarazawa's hair is short in the first movie, and the second movie it's long, and he does the ponytail thing, too.
Yeah.
So I don't know if having long hair makes you look badass, but...
Yeah, you know, I don't know the Japanese customs or whatever, but I'll just, like, say straight up that it's the hair is, for Genji, is shitty, okay? And that I mean, it's almost like someone, like, shaved a poodle or something and put it on his head, yeah. So he's, like, running around with that.
I think the funniest part in this whole movie is that one dude that has the really ugly teeth, that's bald, or he's not bald, but he has a really kind of a buzz cut, like kind of like if you'd go in the army, and he's the absolute ugliest dude you'll ever see. I mean, like, his teeth look like half the size they're supposed to be. He looks like a fucking Indian, because he hasn't brushed him in so long, and it's funny, because they take him out on a date, and he goes up to meet the girl, and he's like, oh, like he's about to, you know,
yeah, like throw up or something.
Throw up or, you know, shoot off in his pants. And he does in some one part of the movie. And he's like, he's sitting there, and she's like, what's wrong? I held it in. You know, and just stuff like that. And it's really, really funny.
Yeah.
So it's not just a super serious movie. It's got a comical side to it. It's really badass when it comes to fighting. And it is kind of a thinking movie in a way.
Yeah. So, you know, like, it won't bore you if you're looking for a plot. And, you know, if you like funny things, it's pretty funny for the most part. I mean, I'm not gonna say, you know, it's like the next Animal House or anything like that, but it's funny. But, and, you know, the kick-ass factor is definitely in the high points, so definitely at least 3 standard deviations off the mean for all you statistics people out there. But yeah, kicks ass.
Out of a 10, what would you give it?
I would give it about an 8.
8. Okay. I would have to say... Well, like, when I watched it, it is a really long movie. It's like 2 hours for each one.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was a school night or it was on a weekend, I was tired or whatever, but I watched in two parts. I think I got... I don't know how I worked it or how I watched it, but I give it a 7.5. Like, I really liked it, but I don't know. It's just something about it. It's just like...
I have to agree. And it is a Takashi Miike movie, and, like, his movies aren't for everyone. And, like, even though this is the most mainstream of them, like, some people just won't get into it. Like, you know, that's as simply put as I can say. Because, I mean, it is a good movie, you know, and you probably will enjoy it, but, you know.
I mean, you might have to take a break and get a beer. I mean, you know.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's good, it's fun, but not for everyone, so.
Yeah. And, that's kind of the whole thing of Crow Zero, and you should definitely... If not buy it, definitely try to download it or rent it from somewhere.
Yeah.
Downloading, I don't think, will be a problem trying to find it. Not that we, support illegal downloading. I'm just...
Downloading is bad.
Just giving you ideas, because, you know...
You wouldn't steal a baby, so don't steal movies off the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I almost downloaded yesterday.
What?
Ms. Marsh. Just because the girl looked hot.
Actually, that movie's really funny, but that's beside the point.
Damn, I'm gonna get downloaded. Not that I do that.
No, we never. No,
I just watch it stream somewhere.
We,
on YouTube, like everyone else.
Yeah, we don't download shit.
Okay, though. We're not being our sarcastic level's too high.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on. Let's break up the live action kind of stuff and move on to some anime. And I'm just kind of give an update and kind of see what's going on with Darker in Black 2. Now, Matt hasn't watched this, but I, of course, pretty much told him everything to where he probably could review it. But,
I'm going to pretend like I watched it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's been 2 years since the amazing Darker than Black, which was animated by Bones, has aired and, I swear, shocked the whole anime world. I mean, I seriously think after that show started airing, it seriously kind of changed the whole genre of superpowers or super users, because it's very realistic.
Yeah, and it's very kick-ass. You know, it's like, hey, let's watch Bleach. Why watch Bleach when you can see this guy, you know, shock people and shit instead of, like, being a pussy? So...
I'm not gonna get into it with you right now. But, it's not just, like, these guys have an unlimited amount of powers to shoot fire, shoot ice, shoot electricity, throw pigs at each other, or some fucking weird thing. Which, there are weird powers like that. Like, there's this girl that has a slingshot, shoots a rock, and it's like a tank. It's like a...
Anti-tank missile.
Anti-tank missile, yes, thank you.
It's freaking ridiculous, and there are some really weird powers in it, but overall, they're awesome.
Yeah. Now, Dark and Black 2 is finally airing, and it's being subbed by a couple groups. One, the main one that's getting them out the fastest that I have noticed is BSS, which have mixed feelings about them because they dropped Goggle 13, so thank you, Fuck Namek. However you say your guys' subgroup, I love you guys. Depict Goggle 13 back up, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, fuck you, BSS.
I mean, I like them, but... You know, just that, I always think about the whole Goggle 13 dropping that, and it made me mad.
Yeah, you don't drop Duke Togo, okay?
No,
I'm actually surprised he hasn't killed him yet.
You know, I mean that's kind of like that episode back where you're like, oh shit, he's in the window, you know?
Yeah, you know, I mean, you do not fuck with Goggle 13. That's like rule number one.
Dude, he'll mess you up.
You will.
Now, when I first started watching the first episode, I was really, really excited. Well, I turned it on, and these, is it fraternal twins? When it's a boy and girl, they don't look exactly alike?
Yeah, I don't know,
Let's let you guys know what I'm talking about, though. Like, twins, they don't look exactly like, or look alike. And, they're sitting there with their grandpa, and they're sitting there around a little bonfire making marshmallows or some shit. And, the grandpa looks up in the sky, and all the stars start falling. And he goes, it has begun in a really cool, epic kind of background, cool music, epic way. I don't know how
epic.
That was a weird description, but
that thing Ben-Hur, you know, epic. It's like, yeah.
That was like a mouthful. Well, that's what she said. And all of a sudden, boom! You know, the meteor hits Tokyo, and also it hit Russia, which I don't think you knew that in the first series, so this is a surprise.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you don't want to hear spoilers and you haven't watched or started Darker Than Black 2, then you might want to skip ahead, but I don't think it'll ruin it too much. I mean, you're going to see it anyway, it doesn't matter.
Oh, and by the way, yes, the That's What She Said jokes have officially pervaded the In a Dictator's podcast. We tried to hold them off as long as we could, but apparently we couldn't.
Watch out, we're pulling out the She Said jokes.
Yeah, so.
Now, after this incident, you see right away, and you see some cool blood, you know, from this kid named Shion. He's the boy, and then Suo, which is S-U-O-U, is the girl. And you can see his Shion's transformation into a contractor. And then all of a sudden, it goes to the future, however many years later. And you see this this guy confessing his love to a girl. And I'm like, okay.
All right.
I can deal with that. That's cool.
That's hard ass. I want to see that.
And it's really cheesy because, you know, the Japanese, when they make anime, they, like, touch each other, like, oh my god, he touched me, you know, like, stupid stuff like that, you know. In America, we're like, hey, you want to make out? Yeah, sure, you know, yeah. It's just a lot different.
Yeah, here we don't even ask for the names, we just ask how much, you know, so.
And then, as the show, the first episode progresses on, I mean, it's pretty much just, you know, school, moe,
shit.
Drama, bullshit, you know, yeah. And I'm just kind of sitting there like, am I seriously watching Darker Than Black?
Yeah.
Not saying that Darker Than Black was real, real dark and the whole series.
Because but it wasn't moe.
Yeah, it didn't have that moe-ish kind of fan service feel to it. I don't think it really had fan service, but it had that feeling. Like it was just going to pull some shit out there, you know. But see, the first series, it had that cowboy guy, the reporter, and the girl.
Yeah.
And that was freaking hilarious, episodes.
Those were funny.
Some people think that really kind of hurt the series, but I think it kind of lined up the mood because they didn't want it to be too dark. But going back to the first episode, in the middle of all this like high school drama kind of stuff, you see little parts of when Shion goes back to her house, and of course she goes back to her house, and they live in Russia, and she goes in her basement, and her dad's like this badass scientist now. Like, when you look back on him in the first minute of the episode, he looks like some regular grandpa that goes, like, fishing every weekend. And now he's a fucking scientist working on chemicals and shit, and it's kind of cool. But it's like, okay, that was a weird transformation. But, and then all of a sudden, you see April. That's her name, right? The black girl with the blue hair?
Shit, I don't know.
I think that's it. April from, you know, first season, that worked with November 11th, the badass among badasses.
Yeah.
And she's an undercover scientist. And you see her and you're like, ooh, yeah, I know her. I remember her. So you're kind of starting to get nostalgic about the first series. And then you also see this sliding door open, like really high tech that you wouldn't see in this kind of old-looking house. And you see Shion in there, and he's in a wheelchair, and he's got a bandage over his eye. And he's talking really, really creepy. And Suo starts talking to him. He starts giving her advice about school. And she gives him food. When she walks out, her dad pins her against the wall and gets really, really mad. And he's threatening her to not talk to him or go in to see him. And then as the while she's at her house, I'll skip the part. Excuse me. They kind of go back to school the next day. The guy Nika, I think his name is. He's the one that confesses his love to this blonde named Tanya. Well, and they start dating. He goes up to Tanya one day, and she's got those contractor eyes, where you can't really see her pupils. You can just see the kind of the white of the eyes, or just the color of her eyes. And you can tell, oh, she's turned into a contractor. And he's like, Tanya, yelling and running after her, and he sees her. She turns around, has the little blue embedment all over her body, and you're like, oh, shit, she's definitely a contractor. Well, she has, like, bugs that go all over you.
And they eat them alive.
Like, they just knock the guy out. And the thing about Season 2 is they also explain briefly within the episode that there's this group of people that are gathering up all the contractors in Russia and taking them to a lab and doing experiments on them. And then there's another group of contractors, of trained contractors that work for either the Army... No, I think it's the Army or the CIA. I'm not exactly sure. And there, you really don't know their purpose yet.
But then kick ass and take names.
I mean, pretty much. And I'll get to that part in a sec. But then they go back to Sue's house again, you know, whatever. And these SWAT dudes from the guys that collect the contractors and do experiments on them start attacking her house. And the cool thing is April pulls out these, like, bombs, and you see the explosions. The explosions look really nice because Bones does obviously a great job in the animation. Mm-hmm. Starts blowing shit up, killing all the other lab workers, and tries to tell her to escape. While Sue's escaping, she loses April, and Shion starts talking to her telepathically. Because, you know, that's badass.
Yeah.
Tells her to dress like him so that... And he does that so he can get away, and she can. What a dick. And she goes up, and she's starting to change her clothes. This is when the review's going to get good, guys. Yeah. You guys know the voice actress for Hiei? The guy that did, what's his name? Tenma from Monster. Badass voice.
Yes.
But really deep. You hear him pick up the doctor, Shion's dad, and ask, where is the media fragment? He says he doesn't know. Then I have no use for you. And he shocks him, and you're like, holy shit. Hiei is going to be like 20 times more badass than ever. Because usually he was kind of nice. Not really. But no, dude, no fucking mercy this time.
All right.
And you're like, holy shit. Well, she meets up with April again in this vent that goes all around under their house and shit. And they get out, and they go in this forest, and one of the contractors... that works for, I wish I knew the name so I don't have to keep saying this, the group that takes the contracts and does experiments on them, starts attacking April. Now, April has a really weird power. It's something with, oh yeah, it's raindrops. And what she would do is, she would make it rain. And then November 11th would freeze it, and then he'd be able to attack if there wasn't any rain. But anyway, she was making a rain, you know, like Lil Wayne or whatever, and trying to fight this dude with super speed. But the cool thing is about this dude is, like, when he would speed up, it had, like, this green kind of effect. And then every time he stopped, he had to stop and eat a hamburger. Like, it was really cool. I think it's called renumeration. And, well, he's running so fast, and she's got fucking... raindrops of not that are as sharp as knives, and they cut him, and he runs into a tree and dies. And you're like, okay, you know, I think that's how he dies. It's kind of confusing. And then the episode's over. Oh wait, no, it's not. You see Hiei choke her and just fuck her up, dude. She's dead.
Yeah, because that's what Hiei does. He fucks people up.
Takes off his mask. You see his eyes. Looks like he's been smoking weed or something, man. Like, his eyes are all bloodshot. It's crazy. Episode over. You see the ending theme? A Bing Dong Schoolboys. Slow song, acoustic. And I was like, what the fuck? That means they're not doing the opening.
Yeah, it's not right.
So you get to the second episode, and I'm going to kind of speed up here. You see Hiei fight this girl that can turn her fucking stick into a
lightsaber.
I mean, it's like... shoe from now and then here and there, but with a wooden stick that can turn into a lightsaber.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's badass. And starts fighting Hiei. And the cool thing about the series is the music is really, really, really good.
And the fights are longer. They're longer than 2 seconds.
Yeah, which is... I liked that idea in the first season because it made it more realistic, like we were saying earlier, but they're so good that you just want more and more and more. And they made them longer.
Yeah.
And Sue hates... Hiei now because he's, you know, just killed her father. And she has the meteor fragment now around her necklace. And he doesn't know it. And so they start going on and they find out that her brother is in Japan, really close to Hell's Gate. Now, speaking of Hell's Gate, Heaven's Gate is what is located in Russia.
Instead of Africa like in the first season. I don't know how it moved.
Well, no, because Africa blew up. Remember? Because they had that big, big fighter war there, and then it just blew up.
Yeah, but still, you wouldn't think it would move. You'd think it'd be still standing in the, like, you know...
fire. So we're both confused on that concept. But I don't want to reveal too much other than... this is a spoiler alert right here. Mao isn't dead.
No.
Dude, I was watching third episode, at like very end of it, Hiei joins up with this flying squirrel looking dude, which is like, it's like, you know how the girls in anime always have these little, you know, pet friends that follow them everywhere that would never really happen in real life, like a fucking monkey or a little dragon, like in Dragon Ball Z, or,
so some stupid shit.
Or like a flying squirrel that like, oh, it has this little chirps and stuff, and it's cute. No, it's Mao.
It is Mao.
And he's like, oh, yeah, you know, and he's got that really cool voice, you know?
What's even better is he has these, like, super huge eyes, and he has a bow. He has a fucking bow. So you just know that Mao's not too happy about that.
So I got really excited at this point, and... But, I'm not gonna rate it, but for right now, Suo... I kind of get Shine and Suo kind of mixed up, but, I'm not really liking it so far. I like the action, I love the music, the animation, of course, is amazing. But, I just... It just got this Moe feel to it, you know? I don't know... I know I'm anti-Moe, and so is Matt. You know, except for This Ugly Yet Beautiful World. We like that.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, It feels like one of those annoying girls, like in Char's Counterattack. You just want her to die.
You know, I'm hoping that like Hiei finds out she has the meteor fragment. And he's like, I have no more use for you, and like rips her heart out, and eats it or something. That's what I'm hoping, or like Mao does it.
Yeah, and I was talking to a friend about the third episode today, and this is also a spoiler again. You know, I don't like saying that. Whatever. I mean, but Hiei is fighting, and he can't use his powers in the third episode, so I'm kind of getting nervous. And also another kind of, you know, con about this series is, it's only gonna be 12 episodes.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're gonna do one of those split seasons, you know, like,
Black Lagoon did.
Yeah, there you go, thank you. Like, Black Lagoon, 12 episodes, that's season one, another 12 is season two, or whatever. I'm hoping they do that, but I'm not sure yet. Like, they don't have a separate page on my anime list to where I get my information from. So, I mean, that's Darker in Black. You know, check it out. BSS is subbing it. You know, good stuff. But if you've seen the first series, if you haven't, you need to watch it. But if for some reason you're starting with season two, I think you'll like it. But if you're a veteran, then it's not going to be what you remembered. Yeah. Not exactly.
And also, Hiei doesn't look as cool.
Yeah, he looks like a ruffian. Like
he looks like a freaking pirate.
Hair is long, his mask is all cut up.
You know what he looks like? He looks like the guy in Innocent Venus, the pirate dude. Like, you know, seriously, without the mask.
Yeah, except for Taraji, I think his name is, doesn't have facial hair, but he looks like he hasn't shaved in a while. But yeah, and then, like, the end of his long kind of jacket is all, like, torn up and stuff.
It looks like he's been to hell and back.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, but, like I said, we can only hope that he kills Suo. That's my dream right there is, you know, if he kills that'll probably instantly make it go up, but, you know, on the 1 to 10 scale by at least 3 points.
Yeah.
Especially if he rips her heart out. Or if Mao does it. If Mao does it, he does it 5 points.
That'd be sweet. Oh my god, dude. That'd be amazing.
You know, from what I've seen of it, and I haven't seen a whole lot, I've seen the opening and a couple scenes, but it looks badass.
Well, I'm going to get Matt to watch first episode right after we record this episode, so, I mean, you can talk about Darker in Black forever, so let's move on to Brick.
Brick. All right. First off, I want to say that Brick is an American movie. It was relatively independently made and released, it wasn't released. It got pretty good distribution because, they got picked up by a larger company. It was made in 2006, and I think it kind of slipped under the radar for most people, because it kind of slipped under the radar for me. I saw a like tidbit on it on this one show, and I was like, that looks cool, and then I just completely forgot about it until recently, and I saw it at a used movie shop, and I'm like, huh, I remember this thing, and so I picked it up, and oh my god, awesome. First off, let me tell you what it's about.
Before you start, actually, how much did you get it for?
$4. $4 for a DVD, which is in perfect condition.
But let me tell you something. Normally, whenever I buy a DVD, I will watch it once, and then I will not watch it again for, like, say, 2-3 months. And then I might pick it up. I watch this 2 times in 4 days.
Nice.
So, it's good.
That's good.
Yeah. Let me tell you how it starts out, okay? The opening scene of it is this girl, dead, by this, like, aqueduct sort of thing. Like, her hand in the water, you know, dead. And there's this guy just sitting there staring at her in, like, horror. And then it says brick, and it's, like, 2 days previous. So, the opening scene is of a dead person. So, automatically, I was like, all right! You know, because that's a pretty good, you know, that's a pretty good hook for most people. You know, dead girl in an aqueduct. I'd say, you know, if you're not interested at that point, you should just stop watching the movies, period. But, dead guy in an aqueduct. And anyway... Actually, dead girl in aqueduct. Anyway, so what ends up happening is the main character is and God, I cannot remember his name, and I know I should, but he was a I'm trying to think what his name is. It's like Miles or something. It's some like kind of weird name that you never really hear much about. But he's a what's the word? He used to be a drug dealer, okay, like the year before, and he got caught. Well, actually, he really didn't get caught, but anyway, what he ended up doing so he wouldn't get in trouble was his partner, his name is Jared, he let him pretty much be taken in by the cops and the principal of the school, so he pretty much sold him over. So the whole school, or the principals think he's a rat, and so they're trying to use him as like an inside man. And he doesn't really want to be used like an inside man because he's like, yeah, I'm not going to get played. So I believe his quote actually like is one during the time they're like, oh, well, you brought Jared into us. And he's like, well, yeah, I gave him to you to watch him be eaten, not to see you fed. So anyway, he's an interesting character. He does not they're in high school and the main guy does not talk like he's in high school at all. He talks like he's, you know, 30.
You know what that reminds me of?
What?
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. Like, you see him in high school, and he's like, you look at, the other high school guys, and they're, like, midgets compared to him. He's like, hey, guys, you know? And that guy's like, hey, you know? That's what it reminds me of.
Well, it's not quite that bad. I mean, he looks like a high school kid. He just doesn't talk like him.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it's really funny, too, because, let me tell you what his clothes are. They're rolled-up jeans, okay, loafers, a t-shirt, and this, like, crappy-looking jacket. Okay, and glasses, like these like tiny little glasses, and this is his clothing for the entire movie. He never switches outfits once, I don't think. I know he takes the jacket off a couple times, but I don't think he actually like changes out of anything. So, anyway, he gets a call from his girlfriend, who he hasn't seen in 2 months. She just kind of like disappeared off the face of the earth, and she asks him for help. So, he doesn't have a cell phone because, you know, he's a drug dealer, so he doesn't get cell phones. He also doesn't have a car because he's a drug dealer. And also, apparently, he doesn't have any parents. I don't know where the fuck his parents are this entire movie, but they're not in there. So, he's in his house. It shows his room for one scene, but you never see his parents, like, the outside of his house or anything. So, all I know is he, like, lives in a room with an alarm clock.
Badasses don't need parents.
Exactly. But, it's kind of weird because it's almost like surreal because it's not totally realistic at all, it's almost like funny at some points. But anyway, let me get back to the plot. I'm kind of like going all over the place. He gets a call from girlfriend of 2 months before, and she says she needs help. So he, and then this black Mustang drives by. You know, 1970s Mustang, and
whoa.
Yeah, it's nice. And this, like, the girl sees him, because she's on this, like, he answers the phone booth, and she's on a phone booth, like, across the street, like, not too far away, but he can't see her. And she's like, oh, shit, you know, and anyway, you see the window of the Mustang roll down, and they throw a cigarette out, okay? And the guy just kind of watches the Mustang go, and the girl hangs up on him real quick. So, then he's trying to find his girlfriend, and he ends up, like, finding these, finding out what the combination to her locker is, breaks into her locker, steals her crap, and starts going through it to figure out where she's at. Goes to this, like, party thing, and anyway, gets information that this one pothead might know where she's at. So, he goes to visit the potheads.
which is really, really funny, because there's like six of them, and then there's the leader guy, and his name's Doug.
What?
Yeah, Doug, that's his last name. Doug. Oh, I don't know what his first name was. But anyway, so Doug is like, you know, totally like wasted on some weed. And anyway, he's like, yeah, where's my girlfriend and all this? And the guy's like, she's not your girlfriend anymore, and I'm high. I want to kick your ass. And so the one guy's like, oh, no, you're not. And he just smokes the crap out of him. And like, so all the other guys, like, you know, stoner buddy, start standing up. And the best quote in the movie, the main guy is like sitting there, and he's like, you guys want to take me? Well, all you pieheads can, because, you know, I've got all five senses, and I had sleep last night. So that puts me six up on all of you. And then they all just kind of sit there like, okay, man, just calm down, dude. Just calm down. So, anyway. So, he ends up meeting up with his girlfriend. His girlfriend pretty much tells him that she was in bad shape when she called him. Leave her alone. It's okay. And lo and behold, the next day, he finds her in the aqueduct dead. Which is not good. And this is actually the first half an hour of a movie, which is kind of sad, because I have to tell you everything that happens in the first half an hour of the movie, so you just have a baseline. Because, like, the first half an hour, you're just like, what the fuck? What? But, like, I mean, it really will lose you. Like, I had some trouble with it. But after that, things start picking up, and they start picking up fast. Like, you start figuring out that everything behind this whole thing is about this brick of heroin, and something was wrong with this brick. It wasn't cut right. And so the person who dosed it went into a coma and died. Right? And so this isn't pretty at all for the drug dealer who's in high school. Okay? Or all the drug dealer's assistants. And so they're trying to kind of like cover this whole thing up. And anyway, the guy's girlfriend 2 months earlier pretty much ended up taking the heat for the bad brick. And that's one of the reasons why she's dead. There's more to it than that. There's a lot more to it than that, but I can't tell you why she's dead without totally getting away the movie. But pretty much, it's this wonderful mystery movie. Like, absolutely wonderful. In the vein of Blue Velvet and things of that nature. Just, like, a really bizarre mystery movie. One of the things, it's not really serious. It goes from, like, like, let me tell you about the fight scenes. It has really great fight scenes. What these guys did was they filmed it with a super, super fast speed camera. So whenever they played it in normal motion, it was in slow motion. So what they did was they sped it up. So everything, it's like normal speed, but it doesn't look natural at all, which is really, really cool. And it almost makes the violence look more brutal. But let me tell you about the violence for a second. Like, first fight you see, it goes from like, the main character, like, pretty much takes on this, like, jock, okay? And every time the main character gets knocked on the ground, he kicks the jock in the ankle, okay? And you hear, like, the bones crack and stuff. It's like, and you're just like, oh, shit! You know, and anyway, so then the jock, like, gets a really good punch on the main character. American character goes down, and the jock, like, you know, shrugs back on his leather jacket. He's like, yeah, I just showed that punk. Guy stands back up, sucker punches him, knocks him out. So that's one of the fight scenes. And then that one's one of the more brutal ones. There's a couple more. Then let me tell you about the other fight scene, which occurs like halfway through. The main character gets stabbed in the side with a knife, so he starts taking off because he's like, there's no way in hell I'm fighting a dude with a knife, right?
Oh, hell no.
So, and he's wearing these loafers, okay, while he's running. So he's running really fast, but these loafers are like, bam, 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 on the like ground. You know, you can totally hear him from a mile away. So what he ends up doing is he turns his corner, takes off his loafers, and then runs and slide tackles the guy. So the guy goes straight into this metal pole.
Dude, this sounds so cool.
It actually, oh my God. It's really cool. Like, just like some of the, it's very psychological though. Like, there's a lot of violence in it. Like, there's a good five or six fights in it. And that's not even including like shootings and stuff. That's just like sheer fights. There's like three shootings and, like I said, it is quite brutal. Like in one case, one of the guys gets shot, like, you know, point blank range with a 45, and you see just the back of his head go out. And wonderful how they do it. Like I said, it's a very, it goes from like being like severely dark to like almost ridiculous, bizarrely funny, and it just like keeps switching off between the two. And it, you know, I really don't know whether to classify it at what to classify it as. It's like a almost a dark drama mystery, but with like some really funny comedic elements in it. So
was this movie ever in theaters?
You know, I think it got a limited theater release. I'm not 100% sure. I know it ran the festival circuits, and I think one of the, like your Foxes or your like Warner Brothers, someone like that, picked it up, and they're like, "Wow, this is a great movie," and then they put it in theaters, like in certain like in larger cities, like you know, say L.A. or Indianapolis, places like that, New York, and then it got like a DVD release. Apparently, it got a pretty wide DVD release too. I looked this up, but like I said, I think it went under the radar and just no one really picked it up. I mean, God knows why. I mean, yeah,
dude, this just, it, like, sounds really, really, like, interesting. Like, I think I would just be glued to the screen if I'd watch this movie, which I really, really want to watch.
Well, I got pissed off, actually, at myself, because, like, about an hour in, I'd been drinking, like, I drank, like, two things of Coke beforehand, like, you know, the 24-ounce bottles. And so now, about an hour through it, I had to pee. I was so pissed off at myself because I had to pause the darn thing and, like, like wait for, like, 5 minutes to pee and then, like, come back down. And I was so mad, too, because I was just like, God damn it! So that tells you kind of how good this was. I was just like, oh. And here's another thing, too. None of the actors in it I've ever seen before. Well, besides the main guy, but I can't tell you what he's in. But, you know, never seen any of the actors, never heard of the director. The music is also really, really good. You never heard about the composer either, but the music that's composed for it is very, well done, very, like, creepy and surreal, stuff. I mean, and then the whole movie's just really well shot, really, just really good. Like, whenever he goes unconscious a lot of times, what'll happen is he'll see his girlfriend's face, and then this, like, black cloth will go above the, camera, in front of the camera, and then he'll, like, wake up after he's been unconscious or whatever. So that's kind of neat, too, because, and they do that, like, three or four times whenever he gets, like, the main character, he's not really a pussy, but he gets the shit beaten out of him a lot. He kind of, like, has a whole punch me in the face, like, sign glued to his chest. So, and I actually haven't really even told you, like, a whole bunch. Like, I told you basically the first half an hour, but, like, after that, when you actually start meeting characters that are important in the mystery and stuff, if I even start going into that, it'll ruin it. But it's a lot of fun. And, like, well, let me just tell you about one of the characters in it besides him. There's his, like, companion called the Brain, okay? And he's pretty much this, like, in the hierarchical society of the school, he's, like, one of the outsiders. No one really talks to him. He sits in, like, the corner and eats lunch. And But he's a genius. Like, he solves, like, a Rubik's Cube in, like, 3 seconds. He pretty much can tell, like, he memorizes, like, the locker combinations of everyone just by looking at them. Things like that. He's a really kind of interesting character. And then there's another chick, and she's a actress. And what she has is, she has these things that she calls lab boys, and pretty much what I can figure them out to do, it doesn't really show it, but anyway, I think they give her, like, some fellatio, and then, like, the entire movie, because, like, every 5 seconds...
Wait, what is?
Okay, oral sex.
Oh! Duh, sorry.
Anyway, but yeah, like, like, that's what I think was going on, because, like, they're always, like, crouched down beside her, and then she'll be like, you leave or whatever whenever she's talking to someone. So that's all I could figure what they were doing. I have no other idea. That's what I like to think they were doing. That would just make it all the more funnier. But it's just a, like I said, it's just a very strange movie. I don't know, but well worth watching. I mean, on the rating of 10, you know, 1 to 10, I would totally give this movie a 10. Like, absolutely. And wow. Especially if you can pick this thing up, like I did, I'm sure you can, and use, like, movie stores or something, because apparently it didn't go over well with everyone. Critics loved it, and, like, you know, your people like me like it, but I guess it just didn't catch on with the mainstream folks so much. But well worth your time, like, really. So,
wow. I guess I didn't say much during that review because I was so into listening, because it sounds so interesting, and I really, really, really want to see it now.
Yeah.
And when it came out in 2006, you said?
Yeah, 2006.
See, I thought this was gonna be like a movie that came out like in the '80s or nineties or something.
No, it's that's pretty cool. New. Like, I thought, like, I actually thought it came out like 2003, and I actually I remember watching, like, the reason I saw it was I used to watch G4 a lot, and it premiered on, like, Attack of the Show. And, like, I remember Kevin, one of the co-hosts on, was, like, interviewing the guy who directed it. And he's like, you know, the things it shows is one of the fight scenes. It's like, so I heard you said it did some really cool things with the fighting camera, and it shows you, like, one of them. And I was just like, dude, that is so awesome. And then, like I said, I just completely forgot what it was called. And then, three years later, I picked it up. And
wow, that's a long time.
Yeah. So, but really, really good. Like I said, it's almost like, actually the way they film, it's almost like an art house type deal. And it's kind of stuff that you don't see in most, like, blockbuster movies, what they're doing with the camera angles and stuff, but it's still really good. So, recommended.
Just to go over the scores for the reviews today, Crow 0, 1, and 2 got an 8 for Matt, 7.5 for me. Dark and Black, we didn't score. And then Breck, you just heard, got a 10 for Matt. So, definitely some stuff to pick up. And unfortunately, Zach couldn't be with us today because we kind of just, like, we're at school and we're like, hey, you want to record this afternoon, saying we haven't done it in forever? Sure. So.
Yeah.
So, and we just didn't get a chance to talk to him.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, do you really want to hear one of his shitty reviews?
No, we can't talk shit about him behind his back because he'll, well.
Yeah, we can. He never listens to our podcast anyway. Like, I mean, you all remember the Toco review. If not, it's like, I think it was our, which
two
one?
Guys sitting down on a bench by CBS or something like that. That's all I remember.
Yeah, I don't really remember which episode it was, but look for the episode that we reviewed Toco, and I'll just explain to you why we don't need one of his reviews. Because, I mean, it was bad. I had to leave.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Okay.
Yeah, so.
I should have said this earlier, but I guess I'm out of breath. This opening theme was Sands of Time by Back On. They also did the opening theme for Air Gear. So check them out. They're a pretty good band. I think that's their newest song on their newest CD. Reviews for next time. I mean, last episode, which was 1.1, we probably didn't live up to our what we reviewed today, obviously, because I think I was supposed to review, like, Space Adventure Cobra, the Time Drive, or something like that.
Yeah, and I think I was supposed to review 3x3 Eyes or something, but yeah, we just kind of figured that you guys wanted to hear something from us for, you know, after however long it was.
Well, and the most recent things we'd seen were these movies and not anime, and we thought we could have a better quality review with what we've seen last, and because we didn't have time to rewatch stuff. But for sure, next time, I'm going to remember this. I'm not going to change it like Matt did with holding off Master Mesquiten. Was it Mesquiten? Or no. It's Doom Megapolis. Yeah. Kept changing. That was a long time ago.
I will, you know, and honestly, I will probably never review that show. Ever.
It was bad. It was bad.
I wouldn't call it bad. I can't bring myself to watch it a second time. Like, I was like, dude, I can totally watch Doom Megapolis today. And it's like, and I can totally come up with 50 better things to do.
Yeah.
So.
But next time, I will definitely review a Korean movie that came out just a couple years ago. It's called Gangster High, and it's starring an actor named Jwang... Oh, wait, hold on, this is Korean, I gotta think about this. Jong Kwang Ho, and he plays a character, the main protagonist, named Song Ho in the movie. And it is a really good movie.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Absolute favorite Korean movie. And I actually prefer Korean over Hong Kong and Japanese, and then you got Thai in the back, you know. But I because, you know, we were trying to explain earlier, we were kind of branching out to some new stuff, and that's what I'm reviewing next time. And Matt, do you have any idea?
Not really. You know, yeah, none at all.
Okay.
It'll probably end up being a horror movie of some sort. Like, yeah. I'll just say that straight up. It's going to be probably an American horror movie, if not an anime, but, yeah.
And throw some anime in there. I mean, I'll update you on probably Blue Literature, maybe. Or if they keep subbing it, hopefully. And then Saint Seiya, Lost Canvas, if, you know, Gleam Street would sub it. If you listen to this Gleam Street, come on now. I mean, I've been waiting forever.
Yeah.
But I just updated on some, you know, shows that are airing. And we might say a little bit about Dark and Black.
So, but, you know, I'll try and find a series to review that we haven't reviewed yet, and that I'll actually watch. You know, hey, you know what? Tentatively, right now, I'm going to say I want to review Dune Megalopolis.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, that's bullshit. But you know what? I'm going to say it. Let's do it.
So look forward for some Korean movies. Dark and Black. Well, just an update, I guess.
And then, something other than Doom Megalopolis, even though I said I'm going to review Doom Megalopolis.
Something, then maybe we'll have Zach next time. Maybe not. We'll see. You know what we should do on our seismic vote? Should we keep Zach? No, I'm just kidding.
We should.
That would be mean.
But if you have any comments on that, by the way, if we should keep Zach or not, just send us an email, you know?
I think the only reason we maybe bash on him is because he never comes prepared. And
ever.
It kind of frustrates me, personally.
Ever.
Yeah, he's like... And then, like, when he gets to my house, now he doesn't have fast internet at home, and that's understandable for some of him. He's like, and we're kind of on a tight schedule sometimes when I have them over to record, and he's all like, oh, dude, I need to look up video games, or I need to look up this or that, or that. I'm like, dude, we don't have time, you know?
Because whenever he looks up video games, like, for his video game section, if you can't tell, that thing probably takes him, like, half an hour.
Yeah, but then when he actually looks them up before we start recording, he's, like, looking at new games, he's like, ooh, I want to get that. You know, beep, 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 you know. Because, anyway.
Oh, and speaking of video games, I know we didn't have a video game section, but you know what comes out tonight, actually? Tekken 6. All right. Cannot wait.
Have you heard anything about Borderlands?
I've heard Borderlands was actually pretty good by several people. I heard that pretty much is a Fallout 3 ripoff, except for the fact that you can play co-op, which is a big bonus for it. So... But yeah, I did hear it's quite a bit of fun. Like, I didn't hear it was, like, going to, you know, make you, you know, the best game ever or anything, but it's fun. So
there's your episode 1.2, and, I mean, do we have a name for this episode?
Shit, I don't know.
Other than, like, I don't know, like, fucking badassness or something, but...
Yeah, we'll come up with a cool name for it when we post it.
Yeah,
but
can't think of one right now. It sounds bad, but we just can't think of one right now.
Yeah, normally we generally come up with these before we do the reviews, but this was pretty a spur-of-the-moment type thing.
Yeah.
So...
And we won't edit this at all, just, you know, like, me answering the phone. I'm not gonna take that shit, dude. I'm not taking that out.
Dude, no, that gives a flair. You know, how many other podcasts do you listen to whenever a phone rings during the podcast?
They're like, oh, wait, that's my mom, you know, or...
Yeah, none. We're honest with you.
Yeah,
that's right. You get honesty at the end of dictators.
And you know what? Since this is on the spur of the moment, I don't even know what our... Actually, our ending theme is going to be Riri, or R-E-R-E, from Asian Kung Fu Generation. So enjoy it, and we'll see you guys in hopefully in episode 1.3 soon?
Yeah, hopefully.
Stay classy, people.
Yeah. Later.